Good morning. How's everyone? Just want to move this pulpit a little bit forward. Who of you follow the news? Well, if you don't, it's good that you don't. But have you seen what's happening lately? All over the world, would you say we have peace? Do we have peace? I don't know what we have. It's a bit different. It's not like we know there's a war there, but there's a war somewhere, and it pops up every now and then. So I'm talking about peace today, but obviously it's a different peace than the world's peace, or what the world thinks is peace. So let me start. I want to say that we had an encounter. One, our church has an encounter series. Where is it? But we've got five, and we had an encounter one this week and last week on Wednesdays. Very nice. It was really amazing. So we tell people what we as a church stand for, but it's not only what we stand for. What we believe are the fundamentals of Christianity. And it was amazing. We had about 20 people. So if you haven't done Encounter 1, you're here this morning, please go to the next one. If you're in a small group and you know of people that haven't gone to it, please send them there. It's very rewarding. And it was amazing to see all the people there. Okay. I want to talk about we as Christians being peace carriers of peace carriers. I don't know if that's correct English, but that's what I called it. And the scripture, the first one that we can read is Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And the Amplified says, blessed, spiritually calm with life joy in God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons of God. Now that's a nice scripture. That's a mouthful. The word peace in that scripture, if you look at the translation, what it is pacifier. Pacifier. A dummy that kids use. What do you call it? There's another name for a dummy. Is a pacifier. What does a dummy do? Don't ask me, because my children do not use them correctly. They chew them instead of, it has the opposite effect of pacifying anything. But what does a dummy or a pacifier do? Why? When do you use it? Dads or moms here? Yes, when you want to sleep a little bit, that's when you use the pacifier. When they're screaming, that's what it's supposed to do. It calms them down. Now, this is what that scripture says. Makers and maintainers of peace. Blessed are those that do that. So what I want to say this morning is, if you're a Christian, you might not know it, but you carry peace with you. You carry peace into a situation. You might use the peace, you might know that you have the peace, or you might not, but you, if you have Christ in you, if you've given your life to Christ, you carry peace into that situation. Can you think about that for a little bit? So what should our effect be if you walk into an argument? If you walk into a difficult situation? If you walk into somebody's life with pain and sickness? What are you supposed to do there? What are we supposed to do there? What is the influence that we are supposed to have there? Is that a good question? Does it make you think? I want you to think about, like I'm thinking, how do I react and act in arguments? Because I'm get into them. I'm a Christian, but how do I react in difficult situations at work, which we all get into? How do we act when we walk into a situation, you meet somebody, their marriage is falling apart? What do we do then? We can walk in there with knowing that we walk in with peace because we carry it with us, or we might not know it. So we don't have an effect on that situation. And I believe Scripture tells us, we'll get to some more Scriptures. Let's first read the next one. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. So this Scripture, I think a lot of us know it, it speaks about life and death, and it says you can choose which one you want. Jesus also says that I've come to give life and life in abundance. To who does he give it? He gave it to us, people that believe in him, Christians. So Jesus says, I've come to give you and you life and life in abundance. So I'm using this Scripture a little bit to say, but I can choose what I want to do with what I have. I can choose to dish out that life that I have freely, or I don't know I have it, or I don't use it. So, Yaku, this sermon starts with Yaku's question on Tuesday morning intercession. Basically around this, what do we do in situations, how do we act or react in situations where we know this is the world versus God, and I've got the wisdom to give into the situation, to speak into the situation. What do I do then? Do I keep quiet? Do I share it? Am I afraid to share it? I don't know what to share it. This is what we're talking about today. But I believe God wants us to know that we carry something with us. And if we carry it into a situation, we can trust God that we change that atmosphere in that situation. If you walk with the knowledge that you have it with you, you walk into that situation differently. If you walk in there like, I have nothing to give, nothing's going to change. If you walk in there with like, I've got something to give, let me hear what the Holy Spirit says. You know what Holy Spirit, His name means the one that is alongside us, our helper. He helps us. So we walk into that situation, we don't know what to say, that's when we need the Holy Spirit, because now He helps. Are you with me? Amen. There's another Scripture, I don't know where it is, where Paul says, don't worry about what you must say. When you get there, I'll tell you what to say. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, if I can put it like that. It helps us in those situations. So, okay, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. There's no embassy in Swakopmund. There's a lot of embassies for other countries in Windhoek. Those people are ambassadors. The American embassy, they are the ambassadors for America in Namibia, if I put that correctly. What does an ambassador do? They represent that country. They're not in that country, but they represent that country. Scripture here says that we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Him. In that situation where you are, Jesus is not there. He's in heaven, but you represent Him. You represent Him in a situation where somebody is sick. Jesus is not going to come back just for that. He will come back, but that's in the second coming. But so, are you getting what I'm saying? You are the hands and the feet. You and I are the hands and the feet, the ambassadors representing Christ there. You know, I don't know if it's in every country, but in America now they're voting for the president. Well, not yet, but the president, and now the candidates are choosing their vice presidents. Okay? You won't choose a vice president that doesn't reflect your values. Because the guy needs to speak like you speak, believe what you believe. Otherwise, you're not going to have, are you with me? That unity. In the same way, we are God's vice presidents. We are His ambassadors. We represent Him on earth. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. So we should conduct ourselves, and now let's get beyond the spooky stuff. We can be very cool and nice in church, but we're actually, it's easy to be an ambassador here. It's only an hour that I need to conduct myself. Then I can be a completely different person out there. But it's there that I should be the ambassador. It's and even more than that, it's when you walk into that fragile situation at work, that argument, argument with your wife. Hopefully I'm not the only one that argues every now and then with my wife. But you know, that's when you're supposed to be an ambassador for Christ. It's there where it counts. It's when you speak into walk into the situation where somebody that doesn't know Christ, marriage is falling apart or has a sickness, that's when it counts. No, it counts at church also, but it's more difficult out there. Okay? That's what I'm talking about today. So the question is, how much peace do you carry with you? Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if everyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then in verse 18, how many times do you hear Christians saying, oh, I don't know what my ministry is. I don't know what my calling is. What must I do? It says, this scripture says what your ministry is. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. And that scripture explains it, where God says, it's reconciliation to God. Where God says, I don't count their sins. Tell them that I've forgiven them. I want to reconcile with them. That is our ministry. That is what we're supposed to carry into situations. That is the ability. We have the ability to carry that into situations. Let me give you some examples. So you know it. Everybody can walk out here today and you can say, I know what my calling is. That is to reconcile people to God. Ministry of reconciliation. Does that mean you must quit your job and become a full-time pastor? I don't know. I'm not saying that. But if God says that, do that. But for 99% of the people, he's probably not going to say that. But you still have a ministry. Okay. Where some practical stuff. Sometimes I hear this, and I understand it. It's fine if one is a young Christian, you're unsure, etc. But sometimes you come across people that is sick, and it's happened lately. And I hear get all the WhatsApp messages. God is doing amazing things. So you come across somebody that's sick, and sometimes you hear, oh, call Pastor Yaku. Yaku's not here, Paul. Call somebody else, an elder. Oh, they're on holiday. What do we do then? Then you're the ambassador. You're the one that carried the peace into the situation. I'm going to get to the scripture. You know, there's nothing fancy about a healing prayer, a prayer for healing. Scripture does talk about the fervent prayer of a righteous man prevails much. So there's some degree to some people are anointed, and that's just because they spend time with God. If you look at CS or Pastor Stephen Lungu, who was at the men's camp, those people are amazing, you know. But it's God that's amazing in them. But I want to tell you that other than that, praying for somebody to get healed is very simple. It's something like this. Lord, please heal this person. Now CS will pray it the same way, the same words. Your words and my words will be the same. There's nothing fancy in it. Scripture also says God is not a respecter of mankind or a respecter of persons. He doesn't put the president up here and me down here. We're the same. So what I want you to understand is that you and I carry the authority and peace with us. Your prayer for healing and salvation and miracles is just as powerful as somebody else's. I heard a story about Smith Wigglesworth. Is it him? Guy did amazing miracles, etc., and raised 17 people, if I remember correctly, from the dead. He prayed for them. They woke up. So they said, how do you do this? They said, hey, do you know how many people I've prayed for that did not resurrect from the dead? Are you getting the joke? He said, I just prayed. I just prayed. There's so many that it, for so many that the prayer didn't work for, but I prayed. My point that I'm trying to make to you is there are miracles and healings and reconciliations with God that needs to happen through our hands. Not Yaku's hands and Carl's hands. Our hands. Because you carry it. You carry peace with you. We'll get to that later, but Scripture says we're an heir with Christ. We have inherited what He has. We have inherited. It's in here. Okay. So, just some examples. Okay, but now some other examples that are a bit more difficult is I want to say that if we carry God's peace and God's ways into this world, we represent that. We have to understand that the world preaches an opposite gospel. So you're always going to walk upstream. You're going to be like those salmon that they go out into the ocean, then they come back. They swim upstream. So do you get what I'm saying? I'm not talking here about peace. Oh, brother, amen, peace for you, peace, peace. That's not the type of peace it's always going to be. Sometimes it's going to mean swimming upstream because the world preaches something else and we're going to say, no, it doesn't work like that. For instance, another example, you might get into a situation and, business, doing work, and your business partners want, yeah, let's cut the tax like this and let's make the deal like this. Let's get it like this. Let's get the tender like this. Then, guess what? You're also in that situation. And now you need to talk the truth. And say, brothers. Well, you can't say brothers. Maybe not. But sorry, that's not how I do it. Upstream. Are you with me? But you carry something into that situation. You're going to have to be ethical and moral about it. Are you with me? Now, praise God, my kids are only in... No, it looks like I'm depressed about my kids. I'm not... But they're only in the 5 or 6 years old, so they're not in school yet. So I'm not worried yet. Another example I want to use is, we're not there yet, I guess, but now I need to think how I explain it. But sometimes your kids are going to be taught stuff in school where you're going to have to either talk to your child and say, okay, that's not out, or if it goes too far, you're going to have to go to some school principals and teachers and say, listen, and I don't know what the solution is, I'm not saying, but you're going to have to make it clear that you don't teach my kid that stuff. And if you don't want to, then I'm going to have to leave, look for another school. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying I've got the solutions, but what we have requires an action. What we have, we cannot always be silent. Another example, just... thinking of these examples. If you're at work and your colleagues, and I need to think of a name, and I use my own name, Theo, another Theo, not this one, he's constantly making racial jokes in your presence. At some stage, because you're a Christian, you're going to have to talk to Theo and say, Theo, sorry, man, can you maybe stop that? Because I believe we're equal. And if he doesn't want to stop, sorry, but then I can't, I'm going to have to skip the tea with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You carry something in that situation. You've got life. You've got the truth. It requires for you to react in a certain way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So some of it's going to be tough. But others, which I actually want to speak about more, is you just walk into situations. Somebody, my wife is somebody like that. She attracts people with pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? People that want to, that have got emotional pain or baggage, some are... talk to her and they blurt it out. Then you are in that situation, if it's a marital problem or a whatever problem, to speak life there. It's not there you're not there to hear it so that you gossip about it afterward. You're there and then you ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to say? Even if it's just a prayer, Lord, bless this marriage in Jesus' name. Bless this person. It happened to me a while ago. Somebody out of the blue, I do know the person, but shares with me about a sickness that she has. And now she's not a believer. She's trusting in self-healing and thinking positively. And I'm like, okay, now I need to say something. Not offend her, not attack what she believes, but it's time now. It's a gap. It's a gap to bring in truth. It's a gap to leave my peace, the peace of Christ. And so I say, well, you know what? we can pray for you. We can really pray for you that God heals you. Are you with me? Carry the peace into those situations. Leave it there. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. The scripture doesn't say, call Paul or Peter for him to heal the sick. It says, you go. And you, don't ask about healing. Heal the sick. We can walk in that authority. And I want to share my opinion here. You know, this is just my opinion, so I'm not saying it is the truth, but this is what I think. I believe that one mistake that the church has made, I don't know if it's still making it, is we get these big people, and it's only them that can pray, only them that can bring healing, and we make these things out of people. And I think God wants to bring that stuff down so that it happens that, oh, wow, that small group prayed for somebody this week, and he got healed. Who prayed? Oh, we don't know. Everybody prayed. He got healed. So it's not about Theo and his anointing and him and his words. It's about the glory of God resting on the people of God. We, and that's what this scripture says, you go and heal the sick. So the next time, please, you can't find Yaku to pray for somebody that you know is sick. It's also good, it's also biblical, and it's also, if you're a shy person, get somebody, get a small group member, say, hey man, let's go to that person in the hospital. Let's pray for them. How? I don't know. Let's just pray for healing. Get some oil. Pour some oil over it. Whatever, do something. Pray. Just pray. It's not about the words. It's about going out. Amen? Okay. I believe God wants to use us. It just needs one humble person with a simple prayer and somebody can get healed. Okay. Matthew 10 verse 9, do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts or a bag for your journey or even two coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it and stay in that house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. In Afrikaans, I'll try and translate directly, it says, let your peace come on that house. You decide to leave, you can leave your peace in that place. So what I want to say with the scriptures, what I've been saying is, we've got the ability to leave our peace somewhere. That also doesn't mean, and I'm not going to, that's not what my sermon is about, but some people won't receive your word. They won't be open. They might be have pride in their hearts. The scripture also tells me we don't have to sit for 10 days with somebody that clearly doesn't want to hear about God. And are you getting me? I'm not being hard in it, but we also have to hear from the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not going to work here. Rather pray about that person, but leave it for now. But don't break your back over it. You can decide and see where the Holy Spirit wants to do something, and you can go on. Amen. Luke 17 verse 21, Jesus said, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. I sometimes hear people must pray that the kingdom of God comes. Like, well, from where? If I have given my life to Jesus Christ and he lives in you, that's where the kingdom is. Now we can pack stuff on top of the kingdom in us. We can have arrogance and pride, but then the job is just to unpack the thing. But the kingdom of God rests in you. It's inside of you. Are you hearing me? You have the ability to share that. You have the ability to reveal that. Galatians 4 verse 1 and 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Heir means you've inherited with Christ. So whatever Christ has received, whatever God has, He is God. We have that to our dispensation. You can walk into your school and pray for people to get, you can leave your peace in your classroom. You can leave your peace in your marriage. You can leave peace at the workplace. If you're the only person, you've got that ability to leave it there because you've inherited with Christ. We've got stuff inside of us. You've got, I want to say, you've got stuff inside of you and you must learn to let it rest. You must learn to give it. You must practice it. I remember when my father passed away, I dealt with it. You probably heard of this story. You must hear it again. And I dealt with it quite well with God, and I worked through stuff, but I could see my brother didn't deal with it that well. So the one day I'm going to, and he's in Cape Town, Stellenbosch, and I was going to go down there, I don't know for what. And God says, you need to talk to your brother. I don't know what, I just had this impression. You must go and talk to him. I don't know what to do. So we go out for coffee and I ask him, Cornelisa, how are you? He starts crying. That's all I said. And I also don't know if I said anything after that. But I just carried that peace in there and something happened. And he said he hasn't cried for 2 years and God has just opened up something. Just obedient, just, okay, Lord, I'll do it, whatever. Kone, how are you? God works. You can trust God to work through you, but it will require from us to firstly know what we carry with us, and then we walk into situations with a spiritual eye that is open. A spiritual eye that is open. I mess up so many things, and sometimes we just act like the world acts in situations. When we get cross, we act like the world is. I'm talking about myself, and God says, "No, no, no. I've given you something in you. You've got the ability to give it out." Okay, the last two scriptures. Then we've three scriptures, four. Sorry. But some of those examples that I used, and in the first service I said, to swim upstream in this world, I don't know about you, but it's tiring. And it gets more and more frequent that you have to swim upstream and open your mouth about it. And, it's like, I think when my parents grew up, it was a bit less. You didn't worry so much about school and what they taught at school. It was all kind of okay, and they could just go through school. And you didn't worry about, let me tell you another example, what I hear. And I've seen an email, it's starting to come here. In Europe, they are now starting to write little children books. I just hear my heart. So normally, I don't know, we had little books of, what did the people say? Susie and... You had these little stories when you grew up of a girl and a guy falling in love. And those kind of stories. Now they're starting to write little kiddie books of two men falling in love. Okay? So it's like part of now the upbringing. Because you have to be open. Are you getting what I'm saying? So stuff is, in terms of God's word, weird, okay? And it's getting weirder and weirder, and it requires bumping heads with somebody swimming in the wrong direction more often than not. And it requires moral courage and strength. That is what I want to talk about. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is Paul talking, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. Paul says, what he's saying there, I believe, is, because you must remember, Paul was persecuting the church. He was thinking he's doing the right thing because these Christians are stealing our Jewish traditions and they are breaking our religion apart. He was a man on a mission in that direction. Then he came to God, repented, and had another conviction, and he ran in that direction, saying, I thought I knew what I have is the truth, but now I know I have the truth. He lived with conviction. He had an energy and a strength in him that came from his convictions. And sometimes Christians, maybe we have it, but we lose that conviction. We lose that energy to constantly go against the grain. Not because we're angry. We're not angry. But we are in a world that comes from that direction, and we're going in this direction. And Paul didn't, he had enough energy, but he had that conviction. We need that moral convictions in our lives. And if God hasn't done that to you, if you're not running with Christ, and you are completely convinced that He is the truth, the way, and the life, I'm telling you, life is going to get difficult for you as a Christian. You're going to have to get that from Him. You're going to have to get that assurance from Christ that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So that when you're a dad and you've got children, that you do not struggle to have quiet times. Because if you don't have quiet times and pray for your house, guess what? They're going to go with the stream down. You're going to have the need the moral conviction and strength and energy to stand up and pray in tongues. And are you with me? It requires strength, energy, and conviction. We need it, and we need it more nowadays than ever before. We can't be lax, Christians. Swakop is easy to get lax, even, especially in that east wind. It's nice to go to the beach and just surf then, which I do. But are you with me? We need this conviction and this energy from God. And it, I know, and this is why I'm preaching it. We need to be ask God to give us that energy every now and then, again and again. Because it is tiring. Okay, let me go on. Do you need, because we're going to pray for you this morning, do you need some more? Do you just need somebody to pray for you? Because you get into contact with these situations where it's so difficult to God, you feel so difficult to do God's will. We want to pray for you this morning. I know there's lots of men that go through that in work situations. And that we are there to encourage one another so that we can have that constant conviction just to not get bogged down by the world. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, we earnestly urge you, believers, admonish those who are out of line, the undisciplined, the unruly, the disorderly. Encourage the timid. What is the timid? Those who lack spiritual courage. Help the spiritually weak. Be very patient with everyone, always controlling your temper. The last scripture, Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart for Himself and dealt wonderfully with the godly man. Who is that? The one who's honorable, the one of honorable character and moral courage, the one who does right. The Lord hears and responds when I call to Him. So I want to say this morning is, yes, you must carry your peace into situations. You can trust God for that. But there are going to be some situations and instances where it taps your energy and you will not be able to do it without the moral courage that God needs to give us. And Scripture here says, and I believe we need to do it every now and then, we need to talk about these things that is difficult for us, where the two worlds in your life collide, where God's will and the world, where they collide. We have to talk about it because this Scripture says we need to encourage people that start struggling in those areas. We can't just say, hey, brother, why are you not godly? No, it doesn't say that. It says, encourage him. Be very patient with him. But it needs to come into the light. We need to start speaking about it because these things are going to get more and more, and we will not be able to persevere if it's not in a family church context. Okay? That's the one side. The other side is where we must ask God to give us this boldness and courage to say, but I'm your hands and I'm your feet. I'm the one that must bring the peace in this situation. There's nobody I can call now. It's now me. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand and close off in prayer.